Don't go there. Yes, sir. Amen. She back there shaking her head no. Amen. Just stay right there with it. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles and let's go to the Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. We worked our way through the first 10 verses of it last week, so we've only got 20 more to go. And tonight we'll clip off about half of those, if you will. So we're going to start in verse number 11, and we're going to go through the 22nd verse tonight, if you will. And I just call this, Paul finally arrives in Rome. I mean, this is what he's been doing for chapter after chapter, isn't it? He's been saying that he's going and been told that he's going, and finally we get him there, don't we? We finally get Paul to his destination of Rome. And, you know, the thing about Paul is this. I think we understand that Paul is wherever he is. You know, he writes over in the book of Philippians in that fourth chapter, he said, "For I have found whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content." Amen? And I saw Brother Dana Williams the other day, and he was quoting that verse. He said, "Have y'all ever been to Kansas?" He said, "I've been out there, and I can't be content there. But anyway, whatever state I'm in." Paul said wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he was content wherever he was. Amen? And he wants to be in these places where he can preach and where, you know, it doesn't bother him to be around new people. Doesn't bother him to be around people that have pagan ideologies. It doesn't bother him to be around folks that are Jewish. It doesn't bother him to be around Christians. I mean, there's nothing that bothers him, because what he's going to do is share the gospel of Christ. And that's his intent. That's what he's finally wanting to do. So let's look at him tonight, as I say, when we arrive in Rome. And I got you, if you will, a couple of maps, just to give you a little bit of an idea. I don't know how well these are showing up, but you can see this is where they leave from, Malta, little island that is south of Italy, if you will, and that's where he's going, obviously, going to Rome. So when they sail from here, from Malta, they're going to Sicily. That's the first stop, and you'll see that as we begin to read. You'll see that they go to the city of Syracuse. And then from Syracuse, they go to a place called Regium, which is at the southern tip on the toe of the boot, if you will, of the country of Italy. And you can see that, I hope, through that little map as you go there. And then notice this map, if you will, a little bit better picture of the country of Italy. You'll see that they come to Regium, and then they sail around to this place called Puteoli, and then they go on foot all the way to the city of Rome, which is at the end of that little green line. So that's where he's going. And as I say, finally we're going to get there. You know, as we left last time, there they were in the island, as we showed you in that previous picture. They were at the island of Malta, or Miletus is what they knew it as at that time. The name of it has changed to Malta nowadays, but the island of Miletus. So here they are leaving there and heading up to where their final destination is. So let's read a little bit, and I believe you'll see that. It says in verse number 11, "And after 3 months we departed," and that means they're departing from Miletus or Malta, "in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appiforum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, who would have let me go, because they found there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for your word. I pray now you just open this to us. Give us a great vision of understanding and digesting the scriptures to have them work and be a great part of our lives. And I pray now, Father, you just add your blessings to the reading. Add your blessings to the preaching, everything that's said and done. May we give you honor and glory, and may souls be saved. May people come to know the Lord. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, you get the idea that Paul, all he's really wanting to do is preach. Amen? I mean, you know, that's what's on the inside of preachers is preach. That's what's in their heart. That's what's got them. And Paul has such a great burden and a great desire for the souls of men. But Paul is doing this in the way that he's always done it. But let's look at it, if you will, just for a few minutes. So first of all, I want you to look at this. Let's talk about this first little section in communing with the brethren. Communing with the brethren. If you'll notice, it tells you here, verse number 11, basically he said, we left this island of Miletus. All right, now I showed you where they were headed on a kind of a northern trajectory. After 3 months, I believe Paul was there for 3 months with those folks on that little island. And the reason that they were there for 3 months was because it wasn't a safe time to sail. It wasn't because of really probably any other reason. And nobody that was in that little area where they were in Miletus, nobody was taking a boat out from there. But he said after 3 months, he said, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. Probably another Egyptian ship that was loaded with grain like the one that they had the shipwreck with. This was another one that they found that was, he says, wintering, that had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Now, the, people are still a little bit on the superstitious side, aren't they? A lot of folks still got a rabbit foot in their pocket. Amen? And a lot of folks still got all kinds of little good luck charms and little, this has brought me some help and some fortune and all that kind of stuff. They still somebody. Well, in that day, the shipmen would put little pagan idols on their ship to guard them. And Luke just notices this and notes it for us to let us know, hey, there's still superstitious folks out there, but aren't you glad that the God of heaven is watching over everything that we do? We don't need any superstition. We don't need Ouija boards. We don't need card readers. We don't need tarot. We don't need any of this psychic hotline and all that stuff. I was listening to something the other day, and they're talking about the best psychics are in California. Now, I kind of agree with them about that, but I think I'd change that word to psychos. Psychos, the best ones are in California. I don't know about that. Somebody told me one time and said, it's the land of fruits and nuts. Amen. Right there. Well, anyway, that's about what you get when you go. No, there are some great people in California. There's some nice folks and safe folks, but, man, there's some of them out there, they're just a little mixed up. I mean, they just need, well, like you do here, they just need the Lord, don't they? Anyway, he says, here we were on this ship. And as they go on the ship, here's this double sign. And if you're into all this, man, this is part of the zodiac, believe it or not. This Castor and Pollux. There is a constellation in the sky that's called Gemini. And some of you, if you've ever played with all the horoscope and all that crazy stuff, part of it is Gemini. And that means the twins. And that is Castor and Pollux. And I can't remember all the history of it, but they're some kind of guys that's supposed to be. Zeus was their daddy and all this kind of crazy. I don't know. But anyway, you can go read on that if you want to. But he was supposed to be they were supposed to be the guardians of those that sail the seas. Amen. Well, if they had them on that last ship, them boys got sore disappointed, didn't they? They busted up the ship just like the rest of them. So, but here they are, they're leaving out. And it said as they're sailing, Paul describes these places where they go. The first one's a place called Syracuse. Syracuse, we saw that. That's on the Isle of Sicily. And that is not Syracuse, New York. No, don't get worried about that. That's not there. They didn't go that far. But they went to a city called Syracuse on the island of Sicily. And then he says, from thence we fetched a compass. And that is just simply a nautical term that means they did a certain nautical or marine maneuver. They went in a certain way and came to a place called Rhegium. And Rhegium, as you saw, was on the southernmost part, as we say, the toe of the boot of Italy. If you look at Italy, it looks like a shoe or a boot. And on the toe of it is where this city called Rhegium was. So here it is. And he said, and after one day, the south wind blew and came the next day, and we came the next day, to Puteoli. So that's another little city there in the country of Italy. So here they are. They're sailing from place to place to place. Isn't it amazing that little term shows up again, though? And the south wind blew softly. The first time, they shouldn't have followed it, but now it was a blessing from God to get them to the place that they needed to be. So you just kind of notice that as it is. But here you see that they have left that city or that island of Melita, and now they have gotten themselves all the way around to the country of Italy. And he says there in Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Isn't that amazing? I want you to notice they left, as I said, they left Miletus, but now they find a lodging for 7 days with brethren at this particular place. Boy, can I tell you, it's sweet to have folks around that want to fellowship with you. Isn't that what you see here? Paul says, look, here we were going and we were desired to tarry with them 7 days. Hey, they had a 7-day meeting and the special preacher was the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul came out and they said, we got a week's revival and Paul's running it. Woo! How much better can it get than that? I mean, here they are. They're enjoying the fellowship and they're enjoying the worship, and they've got one of the world's greatest preachers that's got the touch of God and the word of God. And man, he's the man of the hour. So here he is lodging with them and staying with them. And then don't you notice after that, he said, and from thence, after they left there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, those two places are, you can see them back on this map. Here's the Appii Forum is here, and the three taverns are here. So those are a little distance from Rome. And when the brethren in Rome heard that Paul were coming, well, how did they hear Paul was coming? Well, undoubtedly, somebody from here went ahead. Paul was here for those 7 days. Somebody went ahead of them. One of the group, some of them say it might have been that guy we read about, that Aristarchus. We don't know, whoever it was. Somebody went ahead of him and told him at Rome, said, hey, Paul's coming. And there's some of the guys got so excited, they came down here to the three taverns. Some of them went further down to Appii Forum, and they met Paul there on his way. Well, you say, well, what's so big about that? Well, let me just tell you this. When you look at from Puteoli and you make it all the way to Rome, that's 145 miles by foot. I mean, that's a pretty good little trip. So these guys coming from Rome back to these two places to meet Paul have probably come 35 to 45 miles just to come out to say hello to Paul. They're so excited that he's there. Man, do you know what that does for the preacher? That encourages him. Do you see what it says here? It says that they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. And the three times, it said, when Paul saw, he thanked God and he took courage. What'd that do for him? Well, what I say is it lifted him up as he came to this place. I mean, he left Miletus, he lodged with some fellow believers, but now he is lifted as he gets to fellowship with the brethren. Thank God you ought to get lifted up when you get to fellowship with somebody else somewhere else. Amen? It ought to be a blessing to you when you go somewhere and somebody comes along and says, hey, we're saved. And you say, well, I don't know your name. I don't know your name either, but we're saved. Let's fellowship. Let's worship. Let's get to meet each other. Let's find out, hey, what we got in common. And you'll find out that it's the Lord is what's in common with all of these folks. So that's what's going on. And here he is. Now, I'll tell you this, just in reading this, somebody had figured this out. All the way as we saw that trip on the map, that trip from Miletus, where they left there in that bay, all the way to the city of Rome was 2,130 miles. That's a long trip, wasn't it? But can I tell you, God blessed them all the way there. God blessed them. God took care of them. God gave them fellowship. And don't you know that this was the kind of refreshing that Paul needed before he was to make this appeal before Caesar as he got into the city of Rome. So, first of all, you see that they were that God allowed them to commune with the brethren. But second of all, let's look at it. And there in verse number 16, he says, Luke writes and says, when we came to Rome, they finally got there. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So, first of all, I want you to notice that there are courtesies that are shown to Paul that nobody else got. I mean, there is something that has happened along this trip, and this guy that's the head, the head of the guard, the Praetorium. I mean, he's the head dude of all of this group of soldiers, and there's something that's happened. And aren't you glad God can turn, and we talked about this before, how God can turn somebody else's heart in a direction. Even though they might not be saved, God can use them to bless your life. And he does that all along the way for us. And Paul, I mean, you say, well, what about them other guys? I don't know. I don't know how hateful they were. I don't know what they spit and carried on and fought and snarled and cussed and whatever all they did while they were in their captivity. But I can tell you, Paul tried to help. Paul tried to be a blessing. Paul tried to be the man of God. Paul tried to leave an example. And in that, he was shown some courtesy by the captain of the guard. That's what it says. It says, when they came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. It said, but Paul was suffered or allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. He's off by himself. Matter of fact, we read on a little bit later, you'll see that he is allowed to stay in a home by himself. Now, he does have a guard there with him. And he talks about sometimes in some of his writings that, you know, he wishes others were like him, except for the chains, or that he is chained. And you get the idea that he's chained to a guard. But isn't that a blessing right there? He got somebody to protect him. He's got somebody to preach to all the time. Amen. He look over and say, you don't hear about the gospel? And old guy says, here we go again. I done heard that. Somebody said, do you think some of these men might have gotten saved? They may have. When you read the letter that Paul writes to the church at Rome, he's writing to people that are in the palace of Caesar. He's writing to those that are about the city. He's writing to some of those that are of Jewish background. I'm telling you, Paul preached to everything that moved. So no doubt he preached to these guards, no doubt. And there was somebody I was reading in one of the historical things that said these guards probably were on a schedule where, you know, they worked so many hours, like 8 hours or 10 or whatever it was, and they kept him so long, and then they changed over to somebody else, and they changed over maybe 3 or 4 times a day. I bet you he said, oh, good, fresh meat. Come on, I need to tell you something. Amen? And there might have been a group of them that they rotated through. So Paul was, he was constantly able to preach to these guys. He was given the liberties and the freedoms that were not given to any of the other prisoners. So that's a blessing. But then notice this. You notice that the next thing that Paul does while he's there, verse 17, it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul didn't wait too long, did he? He called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I've committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And then he goes on, he gives a brief explanation of what happened to him. But I want you to notice this. He has a conversation with a Jew. Can I tell you, Paul never breaks the ranks of what he preaches. What did he preach, preacher? In Romans chapter number 1, what did he say? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Everywhere that he went, he sought out a Jewish community. If he went somewhere and there was a synagogue, Paul showed up to preach Jesus. And if there wasn't, then he went ahead and preached to those that were the Gentiles. He went ahead and preached. But hey, that was his mission. That was his thinking. That was his design. And brother, I'm glad that Paul writes that for us, but he doesn't just write it. He practices what he preaches. Amen. So you see, it says after 3 days, here he does. He calls the chief of the Jews together. Now what that means is he got those that were the leadership or the recognized people that were over the Jewish community. He called all them together. And when they were come together, he began to tell them. He said, men and brethren, though I've committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. He's beginning to explain to them that this was a Jewish group that was behind all this. He said, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go. The Roman guys would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. I want you to notice the compulsion that you see in Paul's heart. Do you see what he says? Verse 20, he said, I don't have anything. Or verse number 19, he said, I don't have anything. And I'm not here to accuse my nation, my Jewish people, my Jewish heritage and background. I'm not here to accuse anybody of anything. That's not my purpose. I'm not here to talk bad about you. I'm not here to bellyache and gripe and complain about what's happening. He said, I'm just telling you what did happen. But look what he says in verse 20. For this cause. What cause is that? For the cause of the Jew. Therefore have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. He said, I want you to know all of this has happened to me. I'm all in this because I have a heart for the Jewish people. And I want them to know Jesus like I know Jesus. Do you remember, this is the same Paul that says over in the book of Romans, he said, if it would be possible, I wish God would take my name out of the Lamb's book of life if he had saved my brethren, the Jews. Now, you really have to think about it. I mean, I don't think my mind can even think that kind of thought. But Paul said, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die and go to hell if God will just save the rest of the Jewish people. Amen? That's a pretty tough stuff. But that's what I'm saying. That's the compulsion of his heart. He wants to see Jewish people get saved. He said, this is the promise. This is the word of God. This is what was given to us from Abraham all the way down. He said, and this is the hope of Israel. What are you saying, the hope of Israel? Oh, I hope they get saved. That's not it. I mean, this word hope is the word that means the assurance, the sure thing. And somebody said, well, Paul is not saying I hope so, but he said that I have hope that is sure. My hope is sure that this is the answer for the nation of Israel. He said, that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm, he said, I'm willing to be bound in these chains. I'm willing to go to prison. I'm willing to stand before Nero. I'm willing to stand and preach and testify for the hope of Israel. Amen. The hope of Jesus Christ in every one of us. Amen. The hope of Israel. Because that for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. I mean, he is just simply explaining to them what this thing is all about. And then an interesting thing happens here as we get to this last little part of this section. You see the curiosity among the Jewish people. Something's going on. And I don't know. I mean, you have to read this and draw your own conclusions. It said, and they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So they say, now there's some things we hadn't heard. Amen. I mean, in that, the way they kind of start off and say, we really haven't heard anything about you. Now, somebody says, maybe that's not completely true, but get this idea in your head to realize Paul is still a Roman citizen. All right, he's a Roman citizen. These Jewish people probably aren't. The historians estimate at this time in Rome, there was probably between 40 and 50,000 Jewish people in the city of Rome. 40 to 50,000. But many of them had been slaves and had gotten freed under some conditions or some way. They'd gotten to be freed. Now, not necessarily that they were Jewish citizens, but they were freed from their servitude in some way. But what that meant, and the government of Rome was still pretty nice to them. They let them gather. They let them have their synagogues. They let them kind of, you know, rule themselves, kind of like they were doing over in Jerusalem. Even just kind of, you don't cause any ruckus and we're not going to bother you. You don't cause any problems. Everything's going to be okay. And that's the way they were. And I believe maybe you could read some of that into, don't know, but you might be able to read some of that into this where Paul says, now I know y'all probably heard, and they said, we hadn't heard anything about you. Because if we did hear anything, we didn't want to hear anything because we ain't causing no problem for the government. Right? I mean, how many of y'all done that before? You did know something. You had heard something. But when it comes to you, you're like, I don't know nothing about nothing, y'all. Amen? Go up in Chattanooga after a shooting and see how many of them that happens with. What do you know? I don't know nothing. Yeah, right. I mean, they probably know something, but they're not willing to say. Right? And you and I are like that sometimes ourselves. I'm zipping that lip. I ain't getting in trouble. And that may be what's going on here. Don't know that. Don't know that for sure. But they do say to him, and it almost seems rather believable. They said, we hadn't got any letters. They may not have. We haven't had any of the brethren that have come from Judea to speak any harm of you. In other words, we really hadn't heard anything too much about you. None of the Jewish people seemed to have anything. But aren't you glad of this? They said, we hadn't heard anything about, but we would hear from you. We do want to hear what you, they said, but in verse 22, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. They said, we are interested in in what you've got to say. Can I tell you, if you, you know, sometimes we get scared, don't we, about talking to somebody else about Jesus. I mean, you're there and you think, well, what are they going to say? How are they going to receive this? Are they going to think there's something wrong with it? They're going to think I'm kind of weird, or are they going to laugh at me or mock me or make fun? I mean, we get that way, right? Don't y'all get like that sometimes? You're kind of like, well, I don't know. Well, they tell me, they say, we do want to hear from you. You know what? I don't think that mattered right there at all. They're going to hear from him anyway, but at least they say, well, we do want to hear you. And I believe, again, I believe there is truth in that. We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. We want to know what you're thinking about this Christian group that we've been hearing about. Those followers of that man by the name of Jesus Christ. We want to know what you think about that. We need to hear from you. We're undecided. We're not sure. We've heard some things. But we want to hear from you. And then last of all, they do say that we have heard some things about Christianity. Listen to what it says. We know that everywhere Christianity, it is spoken against. We do. We have heard that. And we have heard that come up. And you know what? I believe people today would say the same thing to us. I mean, and maybe if they're not saying it, they're thinking it. And there are some people that say, well, I would like to hear what you've got to say about Jesus. Amen? Boy, that'd be good if somebody would tell you that and say, honestly and sincerity, we want to hear what you've got to say. Now, you know how it is. Sometimes I'll listen to you if you'll listen to me. Okay, well, I mean, I'm okay with that. It's all right. I mean, there is... if you're stable enough and Bibled enough to know what you believe and somebody's not going to sway you, brother, hey, it's a good thing to talk to them sometime. You know, them little people that come up to your door and they want to hand you a piece of their literature and they want you to read this, and did you know that all this blah, 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 blah is going to happen, 144,000 going to blah, 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 you know all that? I say, woo, let's grab a Bible and have some fun. And you begin to talk, and they say, well, you know what? We got to go. Yes, you do. You need to go. Need to go get you a Bible, for one thing, and find out what the truth really is. But let me just tell you, and I'm not trying to say let's be controversial and stir up. I'm just saying, man, you got to know what you believe, get some truth, have it in your heart and in your life, and be able to tell somebody else about that truth. About that truth. So Paul is here with these folks, and as we go on next week, kind of close this thing out in these last several verses, you'll see there in verse 23 it says, and when they had appointed him a day, they said, let's make an appointment and we'll have you in and we'll hear what you got to say. Amen? And that's fair enough. Woo! They got their wagon loaded when Paul came, though, I'm sure. He was able to tell them. Because he handled the scriptures so well, and he knew them. He knew the Old Testament, and he knew the things that God dealt with him about as far as his writings and the letters and all those things that he was doing. So, man, he was fully loaded with the Word of God. And he's ready to go and take that opportunity and tell them about this, well, they call it a sect. Isn't that the way it is today? Some people say we're some kind of little crazy cult. You bunch of cults out there. I'm not a cult. I'm just a Bible believer. Amen. The only cult I'm in is the one that believes the Word of God, that it's the truth that God has given us. Amen. So we see Paul as he's finally entered into Rome. And we're about to get to the end of the book. But as we get there, you'll see, as I mentioned to you down there in verse number 30, it said, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. I mean, he had him a place there. They allowed him to stay, and they kept him up. Isn't that a blessing to know that, listen, you can stand your ground, you can be right, you can preach right, you can do right, and God will still give you his favor and his touch on your life. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to... sing a song of invitation. And we want you, if you need to respond, come on. If you're there at home watching us on Facebook, you need to respond. You can find you a place to pray. Hey, there's a lot of good stuff that God wants to share with you and show you through His Word. He's got some people. And I guess probably the main thing you can get from the verses tonight is this, that, man, God's got some